And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, you know, you got to pay the bills around here. We got to go to commercial breaks. Sponsors make the world go round. But Winston, you were making a point with our guest right before we ran smack dab into that brick wall.
I'm just amazed that I've come across somebody other than myself who has actually read Lysander Spooner. Lysander Spooner was a libertarian theorist in the 19th century. When would you say, when was he alive, Mark? Around, I think he died in 1887 or something like that.
I believe he was born in 1808.
Yeah.
And it was the 200 year of his birth last year, and he lived to about 1880.
Yeah. But he was what we would call him an anarchist today. He was a strong believer in absolute individual rights. And I recognize a lot of him in what you're saying, Mark, and I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, I would only take it as a compliment. Thank you,
folks. If you want some interesting reading, you should check out Lysander Spooner. It's go ahead.
Well, now, once again, I'm impressed by our guest because normally, Mark, here around the studio, when Winston starts referring to people we've never heard of before, which is quite often, we just nod and humor him. And you actually know, I mean, someone actually knows something that Winston's talking about. This is a night for the books in the cesspool, Winston, and I thought I'd seen it all.
Yeah, Mark, I wish we were in person so I could talk to you about this kind of stuff and not see glass come over your eyes like it does James.
I get that same glassy-eyed look when I speak to bureaucrats.
Yeah, well, a bunch of thugs, you know, Once again, as George Orwell said, they're politicians, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. That's the quote for the evening.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I do want to get back. There was something that you had said earlier, that James, that I just wanted to address because I'll get crucified on my forum if I don't. But you had mentioned, and this has to go with how effective the public relations is and how deeply entrenched it is in the American or everyone's, you know, belief system, and that it was constitutional liberties or constitutional rights. And when it gets right down to it, especially if you're familiar with Lander Spooner, this Lysander Spooner will make perfect sense. There's no such thing as constitutional liberties or constitutional rights.
Well, apparently not. I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. That's a no-brainer. I mean,
well, it comes down to, like with Lysander Spooner, I came to the conclusion that there was no state and there were no citizens from a different angle than Lysander Spooner. I came at it from the standpoint when I started reading that government had no duty to protect you, and I looked at the idea that a citizen legally was a member of a body politic that owed a duty of allegiance in return for a duty of protection. And then when, of course, you read government has no duty to protect you, then you said, well, the only thing that makes you a citizen is that these two reciprocal obligations, as the Supreme Court calls them in Laurier versus the United States, then, of course, there is no citizen, there is no state, there's no body politic. They're just a gang of killers, thieves, and liars. He came at it from the angle that the Constitution has no inherent authority. It only has any authority as a contract, and doesn't even purport to be a contract.
Well, let me ask you another question about the justice system, because you've got a very interesting quote that I want to get you to elaborate on. You're famous for saying something that I think is very illuminating about our justice system when you say there is no duty to protect. What do you mean by that?
Well, just like I was explaining, I know I went through it a little quick. The idea that there are citizens and that there's this social compact, this agreement like the Constitution that everyone has gotten together. And the Supreme Court has said that without any facts whatsoever, that the state was created by the agreement, the freely given agreement of every single person or man or woman, at the time, and that they came to this agreement that the government's going to protect, and in return for that protection, you have a duty of allegiance that you'll follow the law.
Hey, I apologize, Mark. Sit tight again. We got one more break, and we're going to give you plenty of time on the other side. Just sit tight, everybody. The Political Cesspool continues with Mark Stevens right after this.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
That's right, Art Frith. I am James Edwards, continuing on with our guest for the moment, Mark Stevens, radio host, lecturer, law consultant, author, and then some, a guy who can understand Winston Smith. I mean, you can't get any better than that. But, Mark, you were just making a comment right when we ran into that last commercial break. I'd like to give you the opportunity to continue.
Yeah, Lysander Spooner and No Treason to Constitution, No Authority, which I have linked on a website. You can get, you know, from thousands of sites, thank goodness, on the Internet. It was that the Constitution has no inherent authority. It only has authority as a contract. Doesn't even purport to be a contract. And even if it was a contract, it could only be among those who actually agreed to it and signed it, because it obviously the contract's written and it needs to be signed. And no one signed it. And even if they did, they're all dead. I can't bind my children, and certainly my great-great-grandfather, whoever, you know, they can't bind me, and just walk away laughing, unfortunately, you know. But unfortunately, you know, you walk away from some of these people laughing, you stand a risk of getting shot.
That's true. Winston, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. I know you've got something else in your hat, in your bag of tricks.
Mark is a fascinating guest, and James, you're doing a superb job interviewing him. Mark, I want to go back to your experience as a law consultant. I'd like to ask you about juries. I have to admit to a strange fascination with juries in the legal system. I've always wondered about the possibility of about the right of jury nullification and how that relates to the Constitution and how it relates to the government in particular. What are your thoughts on juries and how they relate to the law and to the government?
Well, I hate to say that after seeing what happened to Edna Lane Brown and knowing what happened there, I really wouldn't want to put my fate even in a fully informed jury. I mean, my opinion of the whole thing is that if you get to the point where they're impaneling a jury, you're dangerously close to going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I too often, and I go, Edna Lane Brown. They admitted on the stand. They had the agent admit on the stand. I wasn't there. I'm going by someone who said he was at the court, you know, who saw this, that they got the agent, the chief investigative agent, to admit that there was no evidence they were taxpayers. They still convicted those people. I mean, what does that say about juries? Well, at least that one. You know, and Vince Aprinovich writes a lot about the crying jury syndrome, where the juries convicted because the judge basically said they had to instead of voting mm-hmm. their conscience and not doing it. Or they really, you know, like what happened in Waco, where they gave them token, you know, they acquitted them of all the serious charges, but then convicted them, voted to convict on the minor weapons charges, and some of them got 30 years in jail for it. And they couldn't, well, we wouldn't have convicted if we knew that.
Mm-hmm. You talk about juries, there's a famous quote or some famous idea that says, you know, why would you trust your future to 12 people who were not smart enough to get out of jury duty?
Yeah. Well, think about the whole situation if you're sitting on a drug case. You're talking 12 people who allow a trial to proceed when two major elements of a cause of action or a corpus delicti, which is the body of the crime, two elements of the crime are not even there. So if they, you know, you would hope that, I mean, that they're so, people are so dumbed down, that they're so ignorant of basic fundamental principles of law. You don't even have to get into the Spooner stuff, that there is no state, there is no government. You just look at the corpus delicti, which is a basic principle of American and English law. Mm-hmm. There's no causation. There's no result. There's nothing there. He didn't do anything. All he did was grow pot in his back, or marijuana. And so anybody with half a brain in their head should be able to stand up and say, you know, to the judge, excuse me, where's the corpus delicti here? Mm-hmm. You're forcing me to be here. If I'm not here, you put me in jail for an indefinite period of time, and you haven't even done so little as to demonstrate any kind of causation. You haven't even accused this man of any kind of causation.
Well, juries are convinced that they work for the court, and the proper role of a jury is to protect the accused from the abuses of the court. That's what a jury is for. They're not part of the court per se. They are there to protect an accused from court abuse. And juries have a fantastic amount of power, of which they are unaware.
Right. I would say, if I was ever having to have a jury, and this is something that I've said, you know, hey, if you're in a situation, this is something you may want to consider. You look a jury dead in the eye and say, excuse me, I want to tell you something about the people who forced you to be here. You're not here because you think this is a wonderful justice system. You're here because this guy with this stupid black robe on threatened you to be here. He is willing to send men to use deadly force to get you in this box. What does that tell you about these people? Of course, they probably have me yelling at them to say that, but mm-hmm. you'd plant a seed, hopefully, in their minds, like, hey, wait a minute, if this was such an honest, really good thing to do, why is he threatening me to be here? Why don't they just invite me to be here?
I've long said that you should avoid the legal system at all costs, because once you get into that system, two things are going to happen, at least two things. You are going to become nothing more than raw materials in a process. These people who run the courts are using you to advance their own careers. They're using you for their own personal gain. So you are nothing more to them than so much of a part on a conveyor belt. They want to get done with you and move on to the next one as quickly as they can. And the second thing that's going to happen is you're going to get dirty. Nobody walks away from a trial, nobody walks away from a court proceeding without being utterly filthy. And I've never heard anybody say, yeah, I really felt good after that. It's a traumatic thing, and it's an unsavory thing. It's something to be avoided.
Thank you for saying traumatic, and because I think you're right on the nose there. And I do consults every week, and one out of 10 people that I speak to will have the attitude that they are going to do. They're going to go to court, and they're going to teach them a lesson. And they're looking, and I'll tell them, look, you really have the wrong attitude. You should want to avoid this at all costs, and that you're being forced to do this, and it's damage control. That's actually the phrase I use in the book. It's strictly damage control. You can't win. Yeah, you can get the case or the ticket rather thrown out, but you've already lost. And you're just like you said, it's like you've been raped, and you need a shower when you get out of when you have to when you get out of there. When I did this hearing, so-called, with the Franchise Tax Board, I had her admit in plain English, and I have all the audio I'm going to post this week, that it was not a hearing in the legal sense. She even admitted she wasn't qualified to do her job. But when I get done doing these things, I feel like I need a shower.
Well, juries need, being juries of peers, they are supposed to be normal, average, everyday people.
But try to get it where they're not.
There's
got
to be a way to educate these people to know that they are the ones who should be in control of that court. They are the ones who have the power to protect us from the law.
But try to find a jury that will do that, because you know that the prosecution stacks the jury. That's why they do a voir dire. They are stacking the jury. And anybody who can't see that a voir dire is the prosecution's tool to stack the jury just has never actually seen it and has never, or participated in it. That is stacking the jury. You're not supposed to do that.
And yet the courts present themselves as the place where you can find fairness, the place where the symbol of the blindfolded woman holding scales. It's anything but.
Yeah, well, I think what the Fully Informed Jury Association is doing, because a friend of mine runs the Arizona chapter, and I think it's great to inform people. One of the things that I've wanted them to do is to inform people of why the court is sitting in the first place. What is the object of having the courts? What is the purpose of having government? And you will be very hard-pressed to find the average person who can tell you what the only stated legitimate purpose for having a government is. They won't be able to tell you. And now they're going to be paneled on a jury with all that power, because you're right, they got a whole lot of power, but they don't know why. And I've had someone at the Seattle police tell me, you know what, you little jerk, I don't know, and I don't care. I don't need to know. Oh, you put your men out in the field and you don't tell them the mission statement. Good job there, tough guy.
Well, what was I going to say?
he got you stammered there, didn't he, Winston?
Made him speak.
Well, I've had a couple of strokes over the past year, so the wetware doesn't work like it should.
You should have been in the studio the time he had one while he was on the air. That was fun.
The court loves ignorant juries, just like politicians love an ignorant electorate. Ignorant people are easy to manipulate, and that it's not a matter of intelligence. It's just a matter of not being fully informed, as you say. No prosecutor wants a fully informed jury. That's the worst thing they can have.
Well, right. Can you imagine one person on the jury starting to talk to the other jurors and say, you know what? I remember a phrase from that TV show. And they say something about a corpus delicti. They meant the body of the crime. And it had to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. These guys haven't even pled that yet. And attorneys know what causation is, because the good attorneys, the ones who enjoy the law, they know what causation is. And they understand that causation is the basis and the backbone, really, of everything that court is doing. They are sitting to find causation. End of story, end of discussion, that's it. But you will never find someone in the jury box or at the defense table really talking about causation.
Mark, sit tight. Got to take a break. We're going to wrap up with this on the other side. We'll be back right after this.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com. And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
All right, welcome back to the show. We still have actually over a half hour left in the program tonight, but unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes remaining with Mark Stevens, our very informative and very exciting guest. What a great interview this has been. Winston Smith, really, really enjoying it, apparently. Mark, before you go, I know you are up to a lot of great things currently, and I want to certainly give you the opportunity to plug your current work. And also, if there's anything we failed to ask you over the course of the last few segments, what would be, in your opinion, the most useful advice you could give people? Perhaps some of the advice you give people in the seminars that you conduct.
One of the big things that I'd like to point out, especially if you're caught up with bureaucrats, is that a complaint or a petition is not a case. They're not synonymous. They're not the same thing. So just because a ticket or a petition is filed against you in court doesn't mean for a moment that a case or a cause of action or a controversy, a justiciable case of controversy, has been filed. And that is, in my estimation, in my experience, that's one of the most important things you want to consider, because everything tends to rise or fall based on that. So you need to focus on that. And then, of course, you have to learn what a justiciable case of controversy is. Once you do, which is the same thing as basically corpus delicti, you'll be able to see very clearly that 99% of the time there is no case, which means there is no standing, and the court has no jurisdiction.
Winston is starstruck. He's spellbound over there. That's all you could see. But, Mark, what's your website? And I know, you, obviously, I wanted to give you the opportunity to plug the radio program.
Well, it's adventuresinlegalland.com. The show is the No Stay Project. All the information is on the website. Dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society, ridding the world of the mindset. It's not about a person or a particular group of people. It's the mindset that allows them to get away with what they're doing. And that is that men and women can call themselves a government and control you against your will. That the idea that these people are legitimate somehow is what we're going after, and destroying the idea that you can have a legitimate government, because you cannot.
Mark Stevens, everybody, and I tell you, if Mark, if your website is half as engrossing as the interview has been, people are going to be in for a treat, and I highly recommend it. Please give that URL one more time.
It's adventuresinlegalland.com.
Adventures in Legal Land. I can almost hear you typing it right now.
That's a fascinating time. It kind of makes it sound like this fantasy world, the legal justice system makes it sound like this fantasy world, like Disneyland, where nothing is as it should be, nothing is real, or it's at the very least surreal.
I don't guess that's too much of a stretch.
I think you're right on the money there, Wendy. They live in a fantasy world, and they use guns to force us to act as if it's real.
You know, Mark, that's something that people need to realize more, is that every law and every legal action, everything involved with government, is backed up by a gun somehow.
Yeah, under all that paperwork is a gun.
That. what would that be, Winston?
Say what?
I said, what would that be? Is that ironic?
No. Well, it's what we should expect from a government that has become a tyranny.
Well, it's what we expect.
They mask their force. They mask their final fiat of bloodshed with paper.
It's what we expect, and we're never disappointed. So.
If you put up enough fight against the government or against the legal system, the paper will be brushed off the desk, and the gun will come out, and you will be looking down the barrel of that gun.
Very true.
We're looking forward to that. Mark, thanks again for being with us tonight, and best of luck to you, my friend, in the future with all of your endeavors, and we hope to talk to you again in the not-so-distant future.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a blast coming on. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. You take it easy.
Yeah, you too.
Mark Stevens, everybody, here on the Political Cesspool tonight, following our great interview with Dr. Thomas Saz. We got to do a recap here, Winston. What all have we covered tonight? This has just been one of those nights. We've learned that this show was great. We already knew that.
Yeah.
Muslims can get $250,000.
Talk about bed bugs. You got to have that.
We've learned about bed bugs. Mm-hmm. We were reminded that Pat Robertson smokes crack. The Dallas Morning News celebrates 14-year-old girls having kids.
Yeah, celebrating statutory rape.
If we can just get Paula Zahn back on the air so I can have a television career again, this would be a perfect cap to the night.
I think she's going to keep her distance from you, since you're known as the career killer.
Yeah. Anyone doesn't know...
Interview James Edwards. It's the kiss of death.
I was on the Paula Zahn show 3 times in a month, and then she was abruptly canceled.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I haven't been back on TV since. That was my whole career. It was over.
All the beautiful people are on internet and AM radio.
That's the truth. That is the truth. And if you don't believe him, just go look at our pictures at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Oh, and by the way, speaking of, we took some new pictures the other night, so we're going to put those up soon. Mm. We're always evolving. We got we actually do have a little photo gallery there, but nothing recent. We got to do that. The website's updated every day, but we just haven't updated the photo gallery recently.
Winston,
you've given me something to do. You've given me a task. I've got a chore now.
We're not narcissists. We don't focus. It's not about us. It's about the issues, man.
Well, I hear when Johnny comes marching home, that means it's break time.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Winston, is this not the fastest 3 hours of your week or what?
It goes by pretty quick.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, a lot more quickly than you would imagine 3 hours could go.
The people who listen to this this hard-hitting and expertly produced broadcast, they don't realize what it's like being at the microphone. If you're properly prepared, then it just flies by. If you are improperly prepared, it is a torturous 3 hours, let me tell you. But your professional and committed cesspool hosts and co-hosts are always prepared.
Winston coined the term some years ago, cesspoolian, and I get emails every day from people claiming to be a cesspoolian. That's kind of like an alien race, I guess, right, Winston?
Oh, it's just someone who is involved in something like a libertarian or a well, it's just a suffix. I wouldn't overthink it if I were you.
Well, I'm not. I think it's like it's an advanced species, is what it is.
I guess.
All right. Anyway,
no, news. It's been great being back. I got to say.
Winston's been in. Were you in the land of the rising sun, or the house of the rising sun, or where were you?
No, I think you're thinking of Japan.
Okay.
I was in China.
Isn't that the same thing?
Japan and China?
I'm kidding. One's a little bit bigger than the other.
You got that one. Yeah, yep. I was in China. I was a little south of Beijing for 3.5 months. very, very eye-opening to be in a communist country. Although I got to say,
how was that any different than America?
Not much. The only fear that I had there was of the drivers. And, you know, I was hit by a minivan as I was walking to a store one day, and it laid me out pretty good. But it's as long as you sort of behave yourself, the Communist Party there won't bother you. But man, once you step out onto a sidewalk, you're taking your life in your hands, because the taxi drivers, if they need to get up on the sidewalk to get past somebody, they'll do it. It's dangerous. The only traffic laws they have there are Darwinism.
This is actually pretty interesting and politically relevant, if you want to know the truth. So I had no intention of infusing this into the outline tonight for the program, but since we're on the topic, and since you just recently got back to America, and since you're such an integral part of this program, and we hadn't got to hear much of your story from your months on end long trip into China, what else did you what other observations did you make there that would be of relevance to this audience?
Well, I want to make two observations. One is sort of just a personal thing, and the other actually is, it kind of struck me rather hard. Excuse me. The first is that the Chinese people have about the prettiest smiles of any group of people, any race that I've ever encountered. When I first got there, you know, where I was is not heavily westernized, and they're not used to seeing an Occidental or a European American. They're not used to seeing us there, and they're especially not accustomed to seeing one with a beard. There's not a lot of facial hair over there. And especially when that white person with a beard is smoking a pipe.
If they had any idea you were the world-famous political cesspool co-host.
No, they had no idea.
No cesspool fans in China? We've got to have some.
Got to have them, yeah. Anywhere there's tyranny, people have got to be yearning for freedom. And wherever people yearn for freedom, they yearn for the cesspool.
Leave it to Winston is one hell of a wordsmith. I'll give him that.
the thing that really, really struck me there, though, was whenever I found people who spoke English, and almost everyone there speaks a little bit of English, but if I came across a pregnant woman, I would express my happiness at her being pregnant, because I am happy whenever I see pregnant women. I think it's a beautiful and mysterious thing. But they would always get around to asking me about my child. Now, I have four children, and I would tell them, well, I have four children, and they were absolutely amazed at that. They could not get over the fact that I had four children, because, as every American knows, the Chinese are allowed to have only one child. They have their notorious one-child policy. And
let everyone know what happens if they do get pregnant a second time.
Well, the child is aborted, and they are fined or they go to jail. But every American has heard of this notorious one-child policy. Everybody in America knows about it, but we know about it in only a theoretical way. But when you're standing not 2 feet away from a person who is living under this policy, it becomes something else. You know, for a long time in America, we saw children as our security. We saw children as our comfort in our old age when we were unable to work and support ourselves, or our children were to do it. And we still retain vestiges of that, although it's rapidly disappearing. But knowing that, about having that premium on children, and standing across from somebody who is allowed to have one child, there goes their security, there goes their comfort in their old age, and they have to rely solely on the government to support them. And the government will not support them if they cannot work. In China, your value is based upon your ability to work. And when you lose your ability to work, either through infirmity or through just out-and-out age, you lose your value, and who knows what happens to you then? I never saw a single person in China in a wheelchair, using a cane, or using a walker. And I don't think it's because they are all so physically fit. I just think that when they get old, they are taken out of the system, if you know what I mean.
Go ahead.
You see these people who are allowed to have only one child, and you look at the older men, the men who made it through the Cultural Revolution, and you realize they have their family name is cut off. Their family name will end with them.
And to me, that's a fate much worse than death. You know, not being able to have a progeny, not being able to extend your own cultural heritage in your name.
Yeah. And, well, it's because the Communist Party they see people as a human resource.
But it seems like such a dreary existence. Was the overall demeanor over there? Were they friendly? I mean, despite the obvious language and cultural gap, were they friendly, sociable to you?
They were very friendly. I commented about their smiles earlier, and when
could they fraternize with a Westerner?
Oh, they were always happy to talk with me because, as I said, most of them know some English, and they always want to practice it. But you gotta kind of break the ice first because they look at Europeans with some suspicion, as they should. Because we don't live there. We don't belong there. And so they look at you kind of suspiciously, but I learned that if you just give them a smile, or in my case, a grin. I'm not a smiler. I'm a grinner. But you give them a grin, you give them a cheery ni hao, which is how they say hello. they immediately flash that beautiful smile, and they start trying to talk to you in English. They are extremely friendly and very helpful people. I like the Chinese.
Is it a lot more, you know, we've had Jared Taylor on to talk about the homogeneity of Japan and how homogeneous is China compared to America, which is a third world diversity hellhole now.
Yeah, China is extremely homogeneous.
So despite being a communist and a totalitarian state, they actually have a leg up on us on that one.
Yeah, they do not want foreigners in there for any length of time more than they need us there. I mean, I was there to do a job, and when my time was up, they expected me to leave. And in fact, I had to leave. I'd leave the country for 24 hours after I'd been there for 60 days. I had to take a flight to Incheon, Korea, and stay there for a couple of days, and then I could come back in. But they don't want foreigners there. And you know, the Japanese, they unlike the Chinese, the Japanese have the technology to solve that problem. The Japanese would rather build robots to do the work rather than bring in a bunch of foreigners like we do.
Well, we got to hijack that mentality it somehow. And Winston, I tell you, this has actually for me been one of the most informative and enjoyable moments of the entire program this evening. Me and you're going to have to go to lunch this week, and I want to find out more about your trip. This is, well, enthralling, but we got a couple of callers on the line, and we normally go to the phones quite a bit during each program, but we haven't had the opportunity to do so tonight. But I'd like to do that for a moment, if I can untie my tongue. Gary in California, how are you this evening?
Yes, how are you guys this evening?
Hanging in
very
there.
Well.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to see that my tithes or offerings or whatever you want to call it is still working.
We're still here.
Enjoy your shows.
We're still here.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't send as much as I used to, but I try to do my best. But
well, anyway, we appreciate it more than you know, and that's the truth.
We need some truth on the air. The one thing, you guys had a guy talking in there about mental conditions, and then somebody about the government and the legal system. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to all of it, putting it all together. In my case, gosh, way back in August, my wife is manic depressant, or what they call bipolar. And they do have medication that handles that. But then sometimes things happen where they'll go either into depression or the other, which is mania. My wife went into mania, and of course we've been explained to by the psychologist that sat down and talked to myself and some other people. When they go like this, they can get vicious. Do you want to be with that? You know, we all had to make a choice, and yes, okay. So my wife, when she got a little mania, you know, she came out, she got a little pushing it around, and words got out of line, and I tried to put her on the couch, and when she tripped on the back, went back and scratched me. So then the boy heard the thing and called the police, and they came over. You know, he didn't call the police. He called 911 because on the sheet that she has from the hospital, it says in a crisis situation such as this, call 911 so we get medical help. Well, they send a domestic violence team out here, and they start taking pictures. I said, wait, guys, this ain't domestic violence. My wife needs medical, you know, help. You know, we have it all set up. I pay for this insurance program, the whole shot over here at Kaiser. Just take her over there. No, they take her off to jail. Put her in jail for 13 days.
My goodness.
With no help.
Gary, God bless you, and we really hope the best for you and your wife. But Dr. Saz was very careful and very specific to make a distinction between psychiatry and a true medical issue, and something like bipolar disease, that is an organic problem, if I understand it correctly. That is a true medical issue that can be dealt with the proper medication.
Now, she's on medication now.
Yeah.
And things are working real good, but we still got to go to court, fight the district attorney. They filed charges, domestic. They have me and my son going against my wife. I mean, it's a family issue where they're trying to bust up families, and they're sucking all the money out of the family to pay for attorneys. And this is when the one gentleman talked about government and what they do. I mean, how was the government trying to help me in this situation?
Well, I don't think the government tries to help anybody in any situation. Yeah.
No, but they
you need to do everything you can to try to keep that out of court, because once you get into that system, you are their raw material, and they are gonna use you for their purposes only. They're not there to help you; they're there to help themselves. They're there to justify their existence.
Gary, I tell you what, I know we're running short on time, and this issue is obviously very important and would take a lot more time than what we have. If you don't mind, my friend, send us an email, and I'd like to do anything we could to help you out.
Okay, I think, is your email just, it's on your website.
Yeah, it's on our website, or you can just email it. It's very simple, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Well, on the 20th of this month, we got to go to court.
Well, we'll follow up and see what resources we can help send your way, even if it's nothing more than expertise or the opinion of some of our guests. But be sure to email me, and I'd like to help you out. And thanks for the call tonight.
I'll try and do that tomorrow.
Thank you, my friend. Let's go to Keith in Indiana. Keith, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Oh, I never know anymore.
You sound like me.
Yeah, try to keep up on all the news, and I never sleep, so.
Yeah,
but I was thinking about China. Do either of you two know how many excess males there are in China?
Winston?
How many excess males?
Yeah, in relation to the female population. I mean, is it like 750 million males now and 550 million females?
You know, I did read something about that in a newspaper, but
I don't like those odds.
I read years ago that there was like 2.25 million excess males, and that was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it seems digging through my memory here, it seems that the newspaper that I read mentioned that there were far more males in China than females, and it does create problems.
Well, there has to be. I mean, they practice female abortus because their whole culture is based on the male taking care of the parents in the old age. I mean,
yeah,
they would. But the other thing I wanted to say too, that Dr. Sass was really something.
Remember when you asked about opium
in China, and he said, "Well, I don't want to go there," because he said, "You know, the government gave the." No, it was the Sassoon family.
Yeah.
Who was also Ashkenazi, who later married into the Rothschild family, and they brought the whole British army because that's how much control the Rothschilds had.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the other thing, too, is I don't know, I've seen letters, and I don't know, I can't verify it, but the Boston Tea Party might have been not just tea going overboard, but opium. You ever hear of that one?
That would have been good to be a fish then, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's just. Like Revelation 18, you know, for the merchants were the great men of the earth, and by their sorcery were all nations deceived. And that word sorcery is pharmakia.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about wartime practices there, and war only happens when the moneyed classes think they're going to profit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks very much for the call, my friend, and keep tuning in. Very good observations and good points, and I agree with you. Let's go to Kevin, except I don't know about the opium thing, but I wouldn't put it past him. Kevin, let's go to Kevin. Are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a great show.
Well, thank you for the compliment. What can we do for you tonight?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I realize we're at the end of the slot here. There's a couple of interesting movements going on in the United States with conservatism. For example, we've got the Free State Project in New Hampshire, where they're trying to move as many libertarians as possible to New Hampshire. And then in the South, you've got the League of the South. What do you guys think in general about large groups of conservatives basically geopolitically hijacking some county, some city, some state, and just basically saying we're not going to take this anymore. As the immigration continues out of control, the government control tightens. Seems like daily and weekly. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Kevin, I'll tell you, I'm going to answer that question right after this break. We got to go to a commercial, but it's a great question, and I thank you for the call. We're going to answer it right when the political cesspool returns after these final messages from our sponsors this evening. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go and check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And that is a good question, and in fact, we have had all of those people on this program, and we're going to talk about that. Answer Kevin's question right after this.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the Body and Environment Safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic-grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
And now, let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
We only have a couple of minutes left, so I want to go directly back to Kevin's question, which was a good one. He was asking, essentially, what do we think of the different secessionist movements in place in America today? He mentioned the Vermont secessionist movement, which is active. We've had their leader on, Kirkpatrick Sale. The League of the South, of course, with our good friend Michael Hill. And there's others, too. Christian Exodus, for example, which was headed up by Corey Burnell. They targeted South Carolina specifically because it's a small state with a small population. You get enough, the thinking goes, you get enough like-minded conservatives in there, you can secede. I think it's a great idea to answer shortly. I mean, it's a great idea. It's something that I think it's an avenue that's certainly worth exploration. But the bottom line is, it's just not going to happen. You can't get people to donate the loose change in their couch cushions to the programs that they enjoy, the organizations that are fighting for them. You can't get people to do anything. I mean, much less pick up stakes and move across the country to a certain location in hopes that one day a secession will be realized again. I would like to see that it happen. I think it'd be far more favorable than what's going to become of us if we're continuing to go down the slope that we're on now with regards to the direction that the government and the Jewish supremacists are taking us and so on and so forth. But I don't think secession for nationalists, for European-American nationalists, is going to be realistic, at least until the Mexicans are able to effectively balkanize the Southwest. But that's just me. Winston, we have about a minute left. What say you?
I would love to see some kind of successful secessionist movement, but in order to do that, you have to have a majority. And Kevin alluded to that by when he said bringing a lot of people into one geographic area.
Yeah, see, that's what you would have to do, and you know that you would have to get them all into one small place. But you know, as I said, people just you can't get them to put forth the effort to do much of anything. You can't get them to go out and hold a sign. You know, so how are you going to get them to move? That's the problem.
Besides that, majorities don't really matter anymore. Witness what's happening in California over the Proposition 8 flap. The majority voted for this proposition, and yet the minority is gaining ground and getting the will of the majority overturned. But even beyond that, when you get a bunch of conservatives together, there's really only one thing they like more than fighting their enemies, and that's fighting each other.
And God, don't we know it. And that, the truer words were never spoken. But to answer Kevin's question, it's a romantic idea. Listen, I'm all about it. If I could fight one war, it'd be fighting for the South in 1861. But excuse me, I just don't know how practical it is right now. But we'll see what we can do about it. We'll get to work on it here. We're going to secede from Memphis. But
you mentioned 1861 and Lincoln's war. If there's any one lesson that war taught us, is that we no longer have the rights enumerated in the Declaration of Independence. One of those rights is to dissolve the political bands which have connected us with another people.
Well, we're going to have far less rights, and you're of course right about that. Closing thought: Ted Pike was on last week to talk about the reintroduction of the hate crimes bill. It has been reintroduced. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and read about how you can fight it. We're out of time. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
My name is Jeff Lawrence. I'm